Okay. Good morning. Thank you, Paul. That was great. And thank you, Vivian. That was great. I feel like I've really been prepared for the Word of God. It's great when we can come together and enjoy what it is to be in the presence of God. And what I'm going to be talking to you today is about being in Christ and exactly what that means. We're going to look at John 15, which is a very famous chapter where Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And we're going to look at really the context of that scripture. And maybe we'll see something in it that we may not have seen before. I memorized this chapter about 30 years ago, and I can remember most of it. And even though I said it and I've read it, I must have read this chapter 1,000 times, okay? I have read it again and again and again. And I spoke on this when I was in Egypt, and God gave me a very specific word in that. And I knew that God had told me that I was to speak it here, but he's given me a different message from it, okay? And the great thing about the Word of God is how many people have preached from it? Thousands, if not millions. How many times have they done that? Thousands, if not millions. And yet God still reveals interesting, fantastic insights into his mind and into the truth. So today, all I want us to do is listen to the Word of God, allow it to speak into where you are just now, and we know that God's Word never returns to him without having its effect. So decide now, do you want to be changed? Decide now, do you want to hear what God has got to say for you personally? And if he is going to say something today personally to you, are you willing to ignore that? That sounds like a very scary place to be. God is at work in this church. God is at work bringing about his kingdom in this town. We are part of that. And this today is going to be a small part of God speaking to you in it. Okay, let me pray. Father, I want to thank you that the truth is you. There is no other truth. Lord Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father in any other way than through you and what you have done for us. And we stand humbled before you. Lord, we prayed, we sang. In royal robes we don't deserve. Lord God, you have put upon us the robes of righteousness, worship clothes, that we can stand in the presence of the Father and thank him for eternity, for what you have done for us. Oh, Lord God, we just thank you that you are about your work, and we just ask that you would reveal your word to us now. Speak into our minds, into our hearts, and rewrite the things that are wrong and write in the things that are right. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you want to turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 15, and we're going to read from verse 1. It's quite a long reading, but I think it's worth getting it into the context of the whole passage. Jesus is talking to his disciples. This is a very important time. This is following the upper room, okay? This is Jesus trying his level best to get them to understand before he is crucified. Now, if you knew that you've been working with these guys for 3 years, you have been living your life for 33 odd years, and this is your last chance. You'd be quite keen to get the really important things across to those people. If you knew what was going to be coming, that they were going to be coming into a really difficult situation, and you loved these people, you'd be trying to tell them the things they need to know to get through this trial that's coming. That is the context in which he is saying these words to them. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the true vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and have abided in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. If you do what I command you, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed that you should go and bear fruit, and that that fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Now, you can hear Jesus' urgency in what he is saying. Okay? You can hear that he is desperate that these disciples hold on to this faith that he has given them. But I want to help you get a context for this just now, because a lot of people have read the bit where it says the branches that are in me that wither will be taken away by my Father, and they will be in the end gathered up and tossed into the fire. Okay? Now, we're going to go back to John 13. So if you want to just look in John 13, verse 10. Because you've got to understand, again, this is in the upper room. Okay? We just think of it as a little thing that happened. Jesus spent a lot of time. He told them a lot of stuff. They thought this was another Passover. But they were on the edge of the change of the world, where a new thing was going to come into being. A completely new thing was coming into being the next day. Okay? And Jesus is trying to get them to see, we are on the cusp of something massive. Keep hold of me. But something very, very tragic and horrible happened during that meal. one of the things that broke Jesus' heart. Because we know that Judas chose to betray Jesus. Now, we don't know why Judas chose to do so. We know that Judas was a thief, that Judas was a man who understood things only from his own perspective. He probably saw Jesus as the Messiah who would bring in the control that he thought, because the Jews thought the Messiah was going to come and defeat the Romans and set up a new kingdom, and that, you know, that would mean that the Jews would then be powerful again and would be rich again. And it seems that Judas was in that mindset. He was trying to force Jesus' hand so that he would become that leader and he would wipe out all the people and put him then in a place where he would be able to have more wealth, more stuff. You never know someone's heart intent until the outworkings of their life are shown. I mean, at the moment, we have a really sad breakup of a marriage over all of the internet and on the news and everything. And it's two people who have just, their dirty washing is being put across all of us. And it's two people who are not in the best way. Johnny Depp, his life is chaotic. And Amber Heard just needs some help, really needs some help. But going into that relationship, Johnny Depp thought he was marrying a princess. And it seems that what he married was a woman who had her self-interest at heart all the way. In the same situation, Jesus brought Judas in, brought him into the truth, brought him under his ministry. And he was about to show his true colors. And the reason why we're looking at just this passage, it's in John 13:10, and Jesus says, regarding Judas, Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed, this is talking to the disciples. He says to the disciples, once he has said, not every one of you will stay with me, not all of you are clean. Okay? Jesus says to the disciples, the one who has bathed does not need to be washed, except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. Okay? He's talking about Judas. Now, what is really interesting is the word used here for clean in Greek is exactly the same word as is used as pruned. Okay? So Jesus, we can see in 15, is still talking about the same kind of idea, that what we need to do is he says we are clean through the words that he's been spoken to us, okay? But when it talks about being pruned, it's talking about being cleansed. Now, I've heard this talked about many times, and I've read it many times myself, and really focused on the fact of the pruning, and thought that God, you know, it's about the hardships that God brings about in your life. It's about the difficulties that God brings about in your life. They cut you back. I think it's more than that. Because I think it isn't just the hardships. I think it's also the whole process of being sanctified by Jesus. Coming under the Word of God. Allowing it to teach you and train you and to develop you. So it isn't always just this harsh pruning back. But it is a cleansing of the things that aren't needed in your life. So, thinking on that, let's go back to the whole idea of the vine. Let's consider what it is to be grafted in. Now, I could have got a video, I suppose, and shown you, but you can go on Google and have a look for yourself. When you graft something into something else, what they do is they make a cut into the vine or the tree? Now, we all enjoy apples, but what you don't know is that nearly all of the apples you eat are grafted into a rootstock that was discovered in the UK about 100 years ago. And this rootstock completely revolutionized the production of apples, because this rootstock absolutely pulls nutrients and water out of the ground and pushes it through the grafted branches better than any other rootstock did. So it revolutionized how many apples we could get out of a tree. In the same way, what they take is they cut the tree or the vine, they take a branch, a small sapling branch, and they cut it into a V, they push it into that cut, and then they bind it. Okay? So that's what Jesus is talking about here. You have been grafted into Christ. He was cut. He received you into him. And what he's saying here is, any branch that bears fruit, okay, that's good. But any branch that doesn't bear fruit or doesn't yield withers. And it's taken out. Why does it wither? Because it hasn't taken root. It hasn't taken up the nourishment of the vine, the truth of the vine. So we have a situation where Judas comes into Jesus' teaching, the fellowship of the brothers. He comes in, he sees everything, sees the miracles, sees everything. Does he take up the truth into him? Does he take Christ to be the Messiah that he is saying he is, not the Messiah he wants him to be? The Messiah that would get riches and rewards and end up him being rich. No, he doesn't. He keeps on his own idea and enjoys the presence of God. Now, we all know about Wesley. Anyone not know who Wesley is? If you ever sung, a great hymn, 9 times out of 10, it was Wesley. But he was, in his early part of his ministry, now we're talking in the 1800s here, so he went out to America, as, I'm thinking on my own side, he went out to Africa as a missionary. I'll tell it again, America. He went out to America with a real desire to share the gospel, to see people coming into the church. It was a disaster. Okay? Absolute disaster. He came back and came under the teaching of Wycliffe. Okay? And realized he wasn't saved. Wesley had gone to America to preach the gospel and to be a missionary to these poor, in the old term, savages, and came back to England to find out he needed saved. You know, the sad thing is, even in our church, we may have somebody who believes that they're a Christian. And they're not. Believes that they are born again, and they're not. That's why Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You better know that you have asked Christ in, and you have let him be Christ. Not asked him into a bit, not accommodated some of his teaching, not get your fix every Sunday and then leave it as you go home. No. Jesus is here saying, be grafted in. Take up the sap of the vine. Now, what he's saying also in this is, I am the true vine. Okay? This is revolutionary what he's saying. If you look, the vine is often used in the Old Testament to talk about Israel. But it's rarely in a good way. Okay? Because Israel went the wrong way so many times. If you read in Ezekiel, you will find many references. I think 13, you'll find a clear reference where he's talking about Israel as the vine. But he's talking about it as a corrupted vine, and all it's worth and fit for is being thrown into the dump. You see, Israel had lost its way. It thought that it was the means of salvation for the world. But it wasn't. It was to be the light on the hill that would bring everybody to the Father. To talk about the salvation that was available in Yahweh. But they thought they were the ones. So they became the false vine. Jesus is saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. I've said this before. When you take communion, what you say when you take communion is, I am not looking for another Savior. I am not looking for another Messiah. So, here we have the situation. Jesus is saying, I am the true vine. I am the straight connection into the Father. Be grafted into me, and you will produce fruit. Now, what is the fruit that he's talking about? Okay? It's fruit of faith. Okay? If we look at, if you look in James, James talks about the kind of faith that he is talking about. So if we look in James chapter 2, verse 14, and he says this very simple thing. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? Been a very radical statement, yeah? But he says, show me your faith that works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You see, the whole point of faith in your life, being grafted into Christ, the fruit that you produce is faith that does. Okay, in that chapter in James, he says if someone comes into your church and he's stinking, you know, some guy off the street, he's got nothing to, if you say, oh, sit over there, and you say to the guy who comes in the nice clothes, oh, hello, right? What kind of faith is that? That is not the kind of church that God is calling to be. It's not the kind of faith that God is asking us to have. It's a faith that does. How can you have that faith that will change the world around you? I'm serious. Change the world around you. Every relationship, every opportunity, it will change the world around you. Stay in Christ. Receive from Christ the sap, the hard fought for sap of Christ, the blood of Jesus flowing through your life. Imagine the power of the blood of Jesus flowing through your life. The power that saw the miracles happen. The power that saw Christ resurrected. That power flowing through you. And he says, if you start to produce more fruit, if you start to produce fruit, he's going to cleanse you. He's going to come along and he's going to start to show you the things in your life that are not of him. And he's going to ask you to let those go. If you don't, then he may give you circumstances that will help you let them go. Okay? If you receive from God those things that are good and pure and perfect, like the love that makes you patient. Okay? There is a kind of love of Christ that makes you patient. If you aren't willing to accept that love and outwork it, he's going to give you trials. He's going to make your life difficult because he's going to make you suffer long so that you learn the art of suffering long. Long suffering, patience. So I'm saying to you, pruning does not need to be painful. It doesn't need to be painful. The Word of God gives us things that we can do that will make it not painful, actually to be joyous. Let Jesus wash your feet. That wasn't painful, but they had to do it to learn, to die to themselves, to realize the kind of leadership that they needed to go. So when God brings trial in your life, that's trial and he'll take you through it. Okay? And you will learn through it. But it isn't the only way that you can be pruned and cleansed. You can be pruned and cleansed just simply by hearing the Word of God and realizing what you're doing isn't maybe the best and change it. But what he says is, if you produce some fruit, he is going to cleanse you so that you produce more fruit. And if you produce more fruit, he's then going to cleanse you, so you'll produce even more fruit. But you see, the source of this fruit is abiding in Christ. Now, I don't know about you, I want to have the kind of life where when I die, there is evidence behind me that I listened to Jesus and that I did what he told me in the lives of those around me. I want to die knowing that some people are in heaven because I spoke to them. They're in heaven because I blessed them, or they're in heaven because I loved them, or I met their need at some point. I want to see fruit that will last after me. I want to know that when trials come into my life, that my faith will get me through it because Jesus has grown it in me. There is a danger as a Christian, that when you're grafted in, you produce a little bit of fruit. But you see, you then don't come under the hand of God for him to cleanse you or prune you back. And what you end up producing is leaves. You see, that's what happens with a vine. If you don't prune it back, it starts to produce lots of leaves. And it looks very impressive. Yeah? Very green. You'll see many people who have nice vines that they're doing ornamentally. They don't get a lot of fruit because they don't want an ugly looking vine. So they let it grow nicely and then a few vines go, and they get fruit. But they also get a lot of leaves. What do leaves give? Shade. Okay? If you've been a Christian for a long time, it's likely that you've got used to the way you are a Christian. You've stopped asking God to prune you, to refine you, because it's a lot easier just doing what you do every day, isn't it? It's just a lot easier coming to church and doing what you do at church. Yeah? You don't want to be pruned. I'm afraid we've got a bit leafy. But we are shading other people. You see, one of the reasons why you cut back a vine is the leaves shade other parts of the plant or other vines. And what you're doing is actually stopping other people having fruit. Have you got shady? There's an American phrase which is throwing shade, right? Which basically means disrespecting somebody. Whoa, throwing shade, right? And it means basically just putting someone else down. We have a danger that we are throwing shade. We have got to the point where we're living our Christian life and it's comfortable for us. Not too much stress, not too much of a push, not too much of a challenge, just enough of a blessing so you can keep going. Is that what you want? Is that genuinely the kind of faith that you want? The faith that does you okay, but shades other people, doesn't give the fruit that other people need. It isn't. That's not what I want at all. I'm saying to you this morning that God is putting a bit of a challenge to us as to what kind of a church do we want to be. Do we want to be a church full of people who are allowing God to prune them, to cleanse them of the wrong motivations, the religious outworkings, all that kind of nonsense, and that we'd actually get back to a point where we are looking out that we would bear fruit that would benefit those people here, the people in this town who are going to hell because nobody's talking to them, nobody's ministering to them, nobody's knocking on the door and saying, are you okay? Why are we not these people? Let's change the dynamic. If you are a bit leafy, if you got a bit branchy, okay, a bit woody, let Jesus chop that away. It's not going to be painful if you do it willingly. Do you understand that? It's not going to be painful if you do it willingly. Okay? If you say, Lord, show me what in my life is show. Show me what in my life I'm doing for other people or for to, you know, get by, or show me and root it out. David says, search my heart and show me any wrong thing in me. Let's do that. And you know what God's going to do? He's going to chop it back. He's going to, with you, he's going to snip that nonsense off in your life, and you are going to be fruitful. You are going to see people asking you about your faith, asking you for the hope that's in you. You're going to walk into situations where God's going to use you to actually minister into people's lives, because you'll have fruit that will be useful to other people. God is about to do something wonderful in this town if we very simply just ask him to sort us out. And he will make us fruitful, and it will be fruit that will last, and it will be fruit that will get us through those difficult times. He is the true vine. I desperately need to stand in him, be grafted into him, and receiving from him. Because as Jesus says in this verse, without me, you can do nothing. How many of us still have this deluded thought that somehow or other we can do anything? But in Christ, I have all things. In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, my faith can move a mountain. In Christ. Without Christ, I can do nothing. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you that you have placed in us the hope of glory. I ask, Lord God, that you would search my heart and show me those things in me that have become rigid and woody. Show me, Lord, where I have become all leaves and no fruit. Father, I ask that you would now, as I'm praying, that you would speak to this church, Father, each individual here, revealing to them, Father, the things that need cleansed. Lord, we want to be a fruitful church with fruit that will sustain this world, fruit that will see people coming to faith, people growing in their faith, people moving out in their faith. And Lord God, we just ask now, move us into all truth. Just while you're praying, while your eyes are closed, put yourself before Jesus as he is there, ready to just love you, as the Father is willing to prune back the things that Jesus doesn't want in your life. And just now, if you are in the place to come before Jesus, give him the permission to cut you back. Give him the permission to take away from your life the things that are robbing you from the fruitfulness of Jesus Christ. Ask him to give you a picture of it. Ask him to show you what it is. And then give it him. You are the vine dresser, Father. You are the loving Father. Oh, loving Father, we thank you that you desire to see us fulfill our potential. Your desire is to lavish your gifts on us. Your desire is that we change this world. In Jesus' name, glorify your name in us now. Fill us again with your Holy Spirit that we might be able to step out in power and change this world, bringing your kingdom in one act of obedience at a time. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Paula?